Welcome to today's quarterly All Employment Network call. My name is Derek Shields, and I will be serving as the moderator for today's call. Before we begin with our agenda and our presentations, I'd like to review a few logistics and some housekeeping items. First, this meeting is being recorded, and a transcription is also being captured. Now to the next slide, please. As I mentioned, a few logistics need to be covered. I'll read the slide to ensure that we all have access to the content. First, please remain muted at all times during the call unless we call upon you by a moderator or one of our team members. Next, feel free to ask a question in the Teams chat section. If you wish to ask your question aloud, please raise your hand and your mic will be unmuted. If joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, you need to raise your hand using the *5 option, and you will be unmuted, and then a second step is required with pressing *6. So two steps for phone callers, *5, you get unmuted, *6. If joining via MS Teams and you wish to ask a question aloud, please use the raise your hand feature. Limit your question to one per participant. Additional questions or comments can be sent to us via email at the enoperations@yourtickettowork.com. .ssa.gov email address. Those questions that aren't answered during the live event will be forwarded to the appropriate panels for responses and provided in the summary. We do need to have questions that are more generic in nature. Also note today several times that if you have payments related questions, we ask you to bring those to the All EN Payments call, which is scheduled for January 31st. Closed captioning is available, and our team has placed a post in the chat with the link to that for participants who join using the Teams application or by using a separate closed captioning link provided in the Gov delivery email that was provided for today's call. To turn on closed captioning in MS Teams, you can go to the three ellipses of the More feature, and in that menu option, you can select Turn on Live Captions. When using the link option, you can paste the link in your browser and it will open up a separate window to review those closed captions. Thank you for going through the logistics with me. And now I'd like to review our agenda. Next slide, please. Today's agenda will open up with Mr. Robert Paff. He'll provide some welcoming remarks and welcome some new employment networks. Next, Rob will introduce Renee Moore. Renee will provide an update on a recent SSA emergency message, and we'll have some time for any Q&A with Renee afterwards. Renee will be followed with an introduction by Rob of Mike Corso. Mike was with us previously. He'll provide an update on the Act 5 Academy and the Talent Acquisition Portal update. We'll have a chance for Q&A with Mike after that. After that, I'll introduce Natalie Sendeldorfer. She'll provide our EN updates and a few reminders. Next, we'll have Jamie Pendergraft to provide some great updates on communication and outreach tools available for you. We do have 90 minutes today, and we'll wrap up with about a healthy 30 minutes of Q&A to try to get to as many of your questions as possible. So that's our agenda today. And with that, we do encourage you, again, to submit questions, and Brittany provided how to do that in our chat as well. And we'll remind you when we get to that point. So now it's my pleasure to turn to the next slide as I introduce our first speaker today. We are pleased to welcome Mr. Robert Paff. Robert will be providing introductory remarks and kick us off today. Over to you, Rob.
Thanks, Derek, and good afternoon or good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today. We have a lot of good information to share with you, beginning with a welcome to our new ENs that have come into the program. We have the Springfield Group LLC from Arizona, Joseph Young Consulting from Massachusetts, JVA SoCal from California, the ARC Ocean County Chapter, New Jersey, Ability Works LLC from Idaho, Inspire Career Services LLC from Nevada, and 5678 Dance Now Inc. from Georgia. Welcome to all of you, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming into the program. We have a lot of good information to share before I turn it over to Renee to talk about some messaging that we just sent out in regards to BPQA, BPQY, I should say. Just quick reminder, and this may be stealing a little bit of Natalie's thunder, but we want to remind you all to check in on your tickets and your clients periodically. We are doing a review of tickets where we aren't seeing payment or activity after a period of time. We want you to try to reach out to your clients periodically if they're not active, to get them active and searching for work and employment in the program. We have done a lot of outreach to ENs that we have found have not done this to remind them that they need to be in contact with their clients, and their clients need to be active in the program, or they need to be unassigning that ticket. So just a brief reminder up front. Without further ado, I will turn it over to Renee Moore. Renee, would you like to go ahead?
Thank you, Rob. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Renee Moore, and I'm from the Employment Policy Team. And we wanted to share some information with you that addresses some of the concerns brought to our attention about BPQY requests. We published an emergency message on January 19th, 2023, to share the following BPQY processing reminders with SSA staff. To address concerns about the BPQY processing times, we included the following. Requests for BPQY reports should be filled within 30 days from the date of the request. To clarify confusion surrounding consent for requests for BPQYs and overpayment information, we included the following. The SSA 3288 release to request a BPQY can be used to ask questions about the data on the BPQY. If the BPQY indicates an overpayment and you have questions specific to the overpayment, you will need to submit a subsequent SSA 3288 with a statement that you want a detailed explanation of the overpayments. To clarify whether or not a beneficiary verification letter can substitute for a BPQY, we included the following general reminder. Although a beneficiary letter is similar to a BPQY, the BPQY provides more detailed information about work incentives under both SSI and SSDI. A benefits letter is a statement from SSA that explains the benefits an individual receives and is often used as proof of income and/or proof of disability. The benefit letter details such information as the type of benefits an individual receives, for example, SSI and disability, the individual's date of birth, and monthly benefits. To reinforce policies for when to charge a fee for BPQY requests, we have included the following. We do not charge a fee for any BPQY request when the justification for the BPQY is to assist the disability beneficiary or recipient with planning a return to work effort or to maintain current employment. Lastly, to mitigate concerns about where a third-party requester should send a BPQY request, we included the following. BPQY requests are not an exception to the agency's policies on servicing third-party requests. SSA's policy provides that third-party requests with appropriate consent should be answered by the field office that services the zip code of the individual who is the subject of the requested records. The EM has been out, the emergency message has been out for about a week now, and we have not received any questions or concerns from staff, so we assume the reminders are understood. And we hope these reminders will mitigate any obstacles you've had with receiving or requesting BPQIs. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much, Renee. And I'm going to provide some reminders about how to place questions. You can, of course, place them into chat. For participants in the Teams app, please enter your question in chat or use the raise your hand option. To ask a question over the phone, please raise your hand on Teams by dialing *5 and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. Again, the second step is *6 to unmute yourself. That two-step process is important. Please remember to state your name, your EN name, and then your question for Renee. At this time, I'd like to call on Nicole from our team to identify somebody who's raised their hand for a question.
Thank you, Derek. I have Jamie Head with a question. Jamie, please go ahead.
Nicole, thank you, Nicole. Just real quick, thank you so much for sharing that emergency message that was sent out about the BPQIs. Just a quick question. So if the requests aren't filled within 30 days, what is your advice on who to go to next to try to get that back?
So the process for following up has not changed. You would just follow your normal follow-up procedures.
Okay, great. So I will just say a lot of times what that means is we follow back up with the field office again, or we go to the next step of reaching out to the AWIC.
That is correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Renee, there's been a couple questions submitted through chat. Spencer submitted, will you be providing the phone number to request BPQIs?
The phone number?
Well, that's what was submitted by Spencer. Sounds like we need a little bit more information about the specific nature of or an alternate process.
You would contact your local field office. So the field office that services the subject of the request, you would contact that field office.
Thank you. Next question from Carmen. If somebody did not receive the notice regarding the BPQI update, where can we get that message? Would that be with the official EN POC?
That would be with the local field office. So are you saying that you submitted a request for BPQI and you did not receive it?
Carmen, if you have the ability to provide a little bit more details on that, that would help Renee address the question.
If you requested a BPQI and you did not receive it, then you will reach back out to your local field office or the AWIC.
Okay. Here we have a question. What is the procedure when BPQIs are not filled within 30 days, denied based on it needing to be requested from the rep payee zip code?
No, it does not need to be requested from the rep payee zip code. It needs to be requested from the local field office servicing the zip code of the person who the information is requested on. So the beneficiary would be the beneficiary's local field office based on the beneficiary's zip code.
Thank you, Renee. Somebody mentioned in chat that there might have previously been an 800 number, and then that is no longer an option. So the guidance is the local field office. The emergency notification message is the message that Carmen's seeking. If she didn't receive that message, how can she get a copy of that?
Oh, the emergency message. Okay, I apologize. The emergency message is a public document. So if you go to ssa.gov, you should be able to find the emergency message there.
Thank you. So search on ssa.gov for BPQI emergency message. And Kevin Nickerson has placed a link apparently directly to it now in chat as well.
Thank you. And that's what I was going to say. We'll provide a link. Thank you. Is it Kevin who provided the link?
That's correct.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm looking back to see maybe one more question. I know we had a few come in. I'm just scanning to make sure we've addressed them. Here's one from Linda. If there is a payee, don't we send the 3288 request to the SSA field office for the payee zip code or the zip code for the ticket holder?
The 3288 should be sent to the field office that services the zip code of the beneficiary, the person who was the object of the request. So if you're requesting a BPQY for me, Renee, and Renee has a rep payee, you would send your request to Renee's local field office.
Thanks, Renee. We have a thank you and a plus from Spencer, which I think is two thank yous on top of that.
Oh, great.
Natalie, as a reminder, when sending information to EN Service via email, please do not send personally identifiable information or PII. A comment from Tracy, field offices consistently refuse to provide a BPQI if the rep payee is not within that office. Any comment on that?
Well, because the request should go to the zip code of the beneficiary, not the beneficiary's rep payee.
Thank you. Nicole, I think I also saw another hand raised. Could you help us out on identifying that person?
Yes, thank you, Derek. Diane Winarski has a question. Diane, you should be able to come off of mute now.
I'm off mute. Thank you. Thank you so much. So it's Diane Winarski of ALSIP Employment Services. Just had a follow-up question on the BPQI. When we're sending it to the local field office, in our process, we have not put anyone's specific attention. Should we be putting the attention of the will in that office?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to attention it to anyone.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. That's been our process. I just was looking for clarification.
If that's what you've been doing, then you can continue to do that.
Perfect. Thank you, Renee.
Sure. Thank you, Diane.
Renee, thank you very much for joining us today. I know that you have a tight schedule. We appreciate you answering the questions. We have one last one for you. I submitted a request and got a letter of a fee charge as a third party. How does SSA verify EN status?
Now that's a good question. Who was that question from?
Anthony Buchanan.
Anthony, I'm going to reply to you in the chat. I have to find that out. I'll get back to you in a few minutes.
Wonderful. Thank you again, Renee, for your time. Kevin has mentioned they should be able to look at the EN directory. And Renee, you can follow up, as you mentioned. Looking at the rest of the agenda, we're going to proceed, but we do appreciate Renee joining us for the update on the emergency message. At this time, I'd welcome Rob back. Rob, would you like to help transition us to recap the work that you've done with Mike and introduce Mike Corso as our next speaker, please?
Yeah, thank you, Derek. I'm happy to introduce Mike Corso. Mike Corso is a president of Disabled Persons, Inc. Disabled Persons is a nonprofit. They manage the talent acquisition portal, which is a portal where individuals who are working with or ENs working with individuals with disabilities that are seeking jobs can go into the portal and submit resumes, look at jobs that are available, find contact information to ask questions and things of that nature. And also, Mike is going to talk a little bit about a software training program that he has established where individuals that are interested in a career in software, there's a variety of software products available. Can take this training and actually get a certification that they can use to apply for positions that are available. So there are two different entities. This is something that we have offered And spoken about, actually, we've offered Mike to have time on our calls to speak about this previously. We know that there are, you know, different participants on these calls at different times. So this is sort of a refresher for ENs to hear about these services that are available and or products. So we want to give you the opportunity to hear about this and decide if you think they're useful for your clients. So without further ado, I just want to turn it over to Mike Corso. Mike?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you to you and to SSA to give us the opportunity to offer this to the ENs and the beneficiaries. As Rob said, my name is Mike Corso. I'm the president of Disabled Person, Inc. I'm going to talk to you today about the Abilities to Career Technical Virtual Academy. We had a pilot program. Well, let me give you a little bit. It's an on-demand, video-based, instructor-led learning. And we curated courses and put it together for industry-specific certifications based on employers' in-demand certifications that they look for IT. We ran a pilot program in 2022 from January 1st to August 31st. We had a total of 365 students enroll. About 180 of those students, 175-180, were from ENs across the country. The stats at the end of the program were 53% completed and passed the courses that they were assigned. 42% were in progress at the end of the program. And the reason why they were in progress is we had just a specific time limit and people were coming in, you know, closer to August, so they couldn't finish. 5% never started. At that time, during the pilot, we just had 8 programs available. As you can see, read them, digital literacy, CompTIA A+, Network Plus, Security Plus, in addition to Microsoft Office, and you can read the rest there. Could you put the next slide, please? Thank you. What we have now is September 1st, we launched the official program. We currently have 68 students in the program, all from vocation and rehabilitation. There is a cost. During the pilot program, there was no cost to the beneficiaries. There is a cost because it cost us money to do it. It's $500 per student per year. They could take all the courses that we have, which is over 100 courses that we have, during the whole year. It's just a one-time fee for the year. We've greatly expanded the course options. We offer courses in Microsoft. We have all the CompTIA courses. We have certification courses in Apple, AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, and Linux, and EC Council, Cisco, Red Hat, cybersecurity, courses in Python, different languages. It's a whole gamut that we have that we curated and put together. Again, there is the individuals could come onto our platform. They could take any and all courses. We also have a Microsoft Teams client where the students are invited to. If they have questions about the material that they're learning, we have a teacher's assistant where they can go and they can ask questions on the message board and then elevate that to an email and then again to a video chat if they need to. So there's backup here. We've had multiple people gain certifications. The last person that I got a email from was last week. It was from an EN who just got his Microsoft Azure Fundamental certification. I was just really excited about it. So it's here if you want. If you think that any of your beneficiaries would benefit from this, please feel free to contact me. And I'm happy to speak with them and have, you know, to give them an idea of what they would need to where they're at. So depending on where we start, then we could start right at a digital literacy, or we can go, you know, we can go further with that. So that being said, next slide, please, Keitra. I want to talk about the talent acquisition portal. A lot of you may be aware of it. I heard Diane and Kevin, who utilized the portal, ask questions. The portal is offering of CSAVR, the National Employment Team and Disabled Person. In 2022, we held a pilot. We said, okay, we're going to have the ENs come on for 2022, and then we'll decide what to do moving forward. We decided that we're just going to offer it to all the ENs. There's not going to be any charge, and there's not going to be a time frame, because we feel that the SSA beneficiaries benefited from, you know, the services that we offer. So anyone EN that wants to have their beneficiaries put on tap, if your EN wants to have a registration, just send me an email, or you can call me. The information is up there, mike@disabledperson.com. Phone number 760-420-1269. As you can see, the monthly average of jobs screened streaming on TAP in 2022 is over 800,000. We have a lot of jobs on there, pretty much in every state, every city in every state. So we just invite you, you know, come on. You know, what I would need from you, if you send me an email, if I need the name of the EN, then I would need the email of the individual who's going to be the lead on the EN. And then I can get them, you know, get them the agency set up. So the name of the individual, the individual's email address, and the name of the EN. So that's pretty much it. If you have any questions, I'm here. But we would love to have all the ENs participate if that's what they want to do. Back to Derek.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Mike, for an overview and update on some of the feedback from the successful participation. So appreciate all that you do. We do have a couple of questions. Just as a reminder, you can use chat, as some of you have. You can raise your hand if you're calling in by phone. Again, it's a two-step process. Hit *5, you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then *6 to unmute yourself. Mike, a couple of questions in chat we can start with. Liz asks, is having VR pay for a course a possibility?
Yes. We are currently vendors in 13 states and adding monthly to that. So if you can contact me, if we're a vendor in that state, then VR will pay for it. If we're not a vendor in that state, then we'll put that up, you know, to the front of the line to apply for vendorship in that state and work with you.
Thank you. Jill asks, is the training on the eligible training provider list for WIOA, Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act?
So everything that was done for this, and that's why it's Abilities to Career Technical Virtual Learning Platform, is the WIOA language. The RSA is aware of the program. They obviously can't endorse it because we're a nonprofit. But they are aware of the program and they're helping us spread the word. So the answer to that is, yeah, I mean, we've geared it towards WIOA.
Thank you. Carmen asks, what all is included in the $500 annual fee?
So it's every course that we have. They could take any and all courses. They have the backup of the teacher's assistant, like I said, on the teams. We communicate with them, check in with them, see how they're doing with them. What we do not pay for are the vouchers for the exam. That's between the individual, or the states usually pay for it. But if the VR isn't involved, then that would be between the individual and the certifying agency like Microsoft, the CompTIA, or Cisco, or whatever.
You have the courseware to prepare them for sitting for the credentialing exam, but that cost for that exam is on somebody else. Thanks for that clarity. Right. One more question from chat, and then I think we have somebody for a voice question. Sure. Spencer asks, what about IT employees who have most of the trainings and only need one or two courses? Any flexibility in a cost there?
There's no flexibility in the cost. And the reason for that is we have a hard cost on enrolling people. You know, the courses, we didn't create the courses, right? We curated the courses. So there is that hard cost.
Thank you. Let's go over to Nicole from our team now. Nicole, it looks like somebody has their hand raised. Could you call on them, please?
Yes. Georgia Davis has a question. Georgia, you can now unmute yourself.
Georgia Davis, Phalanx Family Services. I hope I've unmuted myself.
Sound great. Go ahead, Georgia.
Okay. I did try to put my question in chat, and it's a simple question. Are the slides available? Because there is definite information that Mike presented that I am definitely interested in for some of our participants.
Yes, Georgia, the slides are available. We'll provide a summary recap of the call along with the slides, and they'll be posted on the website and shared with you that way. So you can get more information about Mike's content there. Sorry, I see your post now. I just didn't get down to it yet. So we'll get you those slides soon.
All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mike, Barbara asks if you are a vendor in Tennessee. How could somebody get the list of where you're a vendor? Should they just reach out directly to you with these questions if they want to dig deeper?
Yeah, they can reach out directly to us. We're not a vendor in Tennessee. That's on the list.
Okay.
But if you want to work together, we'll put it to the top of the list.
Super. So, Brittany, if you could post Mike's contact information in chat now, that way folks could grab that if they're interested. And, Nicole, back to you. It looks like we have somebody else with their hand raised, please.
Yes, we have Barbara. Is it Valmont? Your mic has now been enabled. Please ask your question. Or unmute yourself and ask your question.
So, Barbara, we do have you ready to go. If you have the ability to unmute,
we can
hear you now. Go ahead, Barbara.
Yes, I'm Barbara with Orange Grove Center. You have already answered my question, was about if you are a vendor in Tennessee. That was my question.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
So reach out to Mike at disabledperson.com so then they can work in setting up. Looks like there's some interest in Tennessee, but probably some other states too. Looks like Yasmin has a question. I want to know how to handle the PPI when sending info to Mr. Corso. Might be PII. I'm not sure, but Mike, any advice there?
So different states have done it differently. Some of the states, like the VRs that send them over, they get a release from the individual. Other people send it over in secure message. Other people send it over. They get the release, like I said, the release from the client or the individual, and then send over information. Clearly, we don't want to do anything that violates any PII information. The only thing we need from the individuals is the name and email address. To get them enrolled so that we know who they are and we could send them the information to access the portal. But that might be a question for SSI, how they want to handle it. Happy to do it any way that SSI thinks is appropriate.
Okay. You said SSI.
SSA.
Social Security Administration, protecting that information. So before sending anything, it's best to have a phone call about that, or you could always reach out to EN Service to get some guidance too. Mike, a couple more questions coming in here.
Sure.
One question is, could you just voice the best link to go to learn more about TAP if somebody wants to go online and just explore?
Yeah, tapability.org. So it's I'll put it in a chat. I'll put it in the chat now.
Great. Tapability.org. That's an easy one to kind of remember top of mind and go in there and check out kind of what it's for and how to get involved. How is this different from online learning sites like Skillshare?
Yeah, great question. So what we've done is we've curated information from different sources. On our portal, the portal that we built for it, which is act.disabledperson.com, we've had it built to be totally accessible. We had it tested by the Minnesota VR Agency of the Blind, and they gave us a 99 out of 100 as far as accessibility goes. So that's sort of the technical part. the big difference is, yeah, you can go and get, you can go to Skillsoft, skill set or, you know, whatever, and get courses that do the preparation. What they don't have is they don't have the group of the students. They don't have message board where people will connect. They don't have a teacher's assistant. They don't have somebody to follow up with them and, you know, see how they're doing and if they have any questions. So they're not alone, right? Probably the biggest difference. I mean, we have people behind it who's helping.
Thanks. And a disability-led organization focused on the very mission as opposed to the broader learning community mission. Nice value add. Corey does have a question. We're going to make this the last one, but I know Mike's around later to answer more questions in the general Q&A. Corey asks, well, using Mike's training services, I like that, transfer the ticket from the current EN. So, Mike, when you have somebody participate, a beneficiary from an EN, is there any exchange? Does the ticket move from an EN to you all?
Yeah.
Or are you just a partner in this work?
We're just a partner in this work. We don't take anything away from anybody. You do what you do, we'll do what we do.
Fantastic. Well, Mike, I'd like to thank you for your time and presenting and giving us the great updates on your participation in the resources. And please stick around. We'll come back to you with follow-on questions in the general Q&A.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity again.
Absolutely. So we're going to now proceed to the next segment of our call to have EN updates and reminders. It's my pleasure to now introduce and welcome Natalie Sendeldorfer. Natalie is a lead EN analyst for the Office of Employment Support. Natalie, over to you, please.
Thank you, Derek. I just had a couple of reminders to go over. The first is our home office approval. Employment Network staff who wish to work outside of the EN's approved service site location must document that the alternate workstation meets the requirements to protect personally identifiable information, whether the alternative workstation is a residence or another site outside of the ticket holder service location per the TPA. ENs are required to submit the request for use of home office form to EN service at ssa.gov to document that the alternative workstation meets the TPA requirements to protect PII. They will be putting the link to the forms in the chat so you can find all the forms I'm referencing. As far as TPA changes, ENs are required to report to EN service at ssa.gov changes in their personnel working under their EN TPA that includes new hires and terminations within 24 hours of the change. All changes to EN service must be sent in a TPA change form signed by the signatory authority, and that also includes changes to key contacts, personnel, their main or physical addresses, service site addresses, or contacts. EN service will not accept TPA changes in the body of an email. They must fill out the official TPA change form. Again, those forms can be found at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov/resources/forms. I also have some reminders about EN training. The TPA Part 3, Section 7, details the requirements for completing the EN startup training necessary for performing the duties and responsibilities under the TPA. This includes completing training within 60 days following the TPA award. Startup training is mandatory for EN contacts who are listed as main points of contact on the TPA, which are the ticket holder, payments, TPA inquiries, suitability, and EN staff, and accessing the ticket portal. Failure to comply with the training requirement will result in sanctions, which may include putting payments on hold, as well as ticket assignments on hold, requiring the EN to designate a new suitable and trained contact within 2 business days, or termination. Notifications of your employee's training progress will be sent to the employee, the signatory authority, and the program contact. I'm also going to go over some reminders about the services and supports review. Ticket holder IWP, the costs, and case note submission for the service and supports review. Please do not combine documents for multiple ticket holders in the same PDF. If using a PDF form, there should be a separate one for each ticket holder. And to properly track the documents, we request that you use the following naming convention, ENPID/type of document. It is the EN's responsibility to submit their documents. If not sent, ENs will not be listed and or receive any of the associated privileges. Please wait until you are notified of your services and supports review to submit any applicable documents. And during the annual service and supports review process, the APOR, there will be a request to submit the following documents. The request for documentation will occur twice in 2023, once during the APOR season and once during your annual services and supports review. And in 2024, we will only collect it once in the with the APOR. This year, documents requested will be the work from home request forms and the work from home request addendum, the benefits counseling certifications and the benefits counseling certification addendum, Partnership Plus agreements, FedRAMP approved cloud storage provider. ENs are not required to have cloud storage, but if they are using cloud storage, it must be from a FedRAMP approved, and proof of workforce status. It's also for the APOR, 1:30 Eastern Standard Time this Thursday, January 26th, there will be a call to go over this year's annual performance outcome review, the APOR, and contractor personnel security certification form 222. All ENs, except those with an award date of 2022, are required to complete these forms by Monday, February 27th. Failure to do so could result in termination, and last year we did terminate several ENs for not complying. I will be available at the end of the call for questions and also on chat, and I will now turn it back over to you, Derek.
Natalie, thank you very much for the updates and reminders. Again, everyone, I know we have some questions in chat. What we're going to do now is proceed to our final presenter, and then, as Natalie said, we'll bring her back for an open Q&A. It's now my pleasure to move to our final update. If we could forward to the next slide, please. Today, we're going to learn from Jamie Pendergraft, the Ticket Program Manager, Director of Communications and Outreach, about some important updates on some new tools from the communications part of the organization. Jamie, over to you, please.
Thank you, Derek, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jamie Pendergraft, the Director of Communications and Outreach for the Ticket Program Manager. And today I do want to share some reminders for some of you about how to help promote the program to our potential audiences. So our outreach team promotes the Ticket to Work program to eligible beneficiaries and also a variety of different community organizations. And basically, we just try and get the word out about the program as much as possible. Keitra, could you go to the next slide, please? And one more, please. Thank you. One of the ways that we promote the program heavily is through our Work Incentive Seminar event or WISE webinars. I know many of you have participated. We see a lot of you turn out for those, and we thank you for that. We like seeing you there and seeing some questions from you. So our WISE webinars are online events that are designed to explain the ticket program and work incentives through accessible learning opportunities. Basically, it's a comfortable place for people to come and hear about the program for the first time. We also, of course, see a lot of family members, friends, and other organizations join as well. The WISE webinars are typically held on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and that is actually almost always when they're held. We only ever deviate if there's an issue with a holiday or to avoid the last week of December. Our average monthly attendance ranges from 400 to 600 people, depending on our topic. Our next WISE topic is called Think Outside the Office, Exploring Non-Office Jobs, where you will hear Derek Shields present some information for everyone about non-office jobs, basically. So on January 25th from 3 to 4:30, so that's actually tomorrow, we'll be presenting that topic. the TPM sends sample social media posts to ENs to share every month via GovDelivery. And there's a couple of reasons that we encourage you to do that. So we ask that you help promote our webinars, as they're an opportunity to reach a large audience at the same time and get basic program information out to a big group, which will hopefully save some time answering questions. For those of you who remember when we did in-person WISE events, you remember you got to meet with 15, 20 people all at the same time, and they had an understanding, a basic understanding of what the ticket program was. So in the end, that saved the WIPAs and hopefully you all some time as well. So during every webinar, we promote several calls to action, and these include visiting the Find Help tool to find a service provider. So again, once they have this basic info, we hope they'll have a better understanding of the program and reach out to you to assign their tickets. As I mentioned, the WISE webinars are also a great way to promote the program to other organizations who might not know about the ticket program. Once they learn about it, they might be interested in sending some ticket holders your way, which is another benefit of posting on social media. As I mentioned, we do send out sample social media posts on GovDelivery. You're also welcome to share any content from the Choose Work social media pages. We do tend to pin our WISE announcements on our accounts, so they're right at the top. They should be very easy just to grab and repost. Next slide, please. A quick look at our upcoming webinars. On February 22nd, we will host Expanding Your Job Search with Ticket to Work. And this is the webinar where we will talk about Section 503, apprenticeships, federal employment, and how to find leads in this community. So these are your kind of federal-facing jobs and not necessarily non-office jobs, but not necessarily office jobs either. So that is on February 22nd. March 22nd, we will host How Will Work Affect My Social Security Disability Benefits? And this is what we tend to refer to as our generic presentation. And it covers how participating in the ticket program can provide some safety nets while people try work as a path to financial independence. And that's a really good one to get an intro about the program out to folks, because it is our basic introduction. Following that, on April 26th, we will talk about how work will affect my Medicaid or Medicare. And as I'm sure you can guess, this is one of our most popular because this is one of our most frequently asked questions that we receive. During every webinar, we do discuss the ticket program and other work incentives and do those calls to action, which include visiting the Find Help tool, visiting the website, or calling the helpline. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, we have a very active social media account. We do post daily, pretty much on Facebook and Twitter. We share a variety of different content, including our blog posts. We do try and publish one blog post a week. We also share other ticket program resources and fact sheets, our WISE webinars, our success stories, important updates from Social Security, and relevant information from other federal agencies and disability organizations. We encourage you to share social media posts or just share some of our content directly. We just ask you to tag us, but you're welcome to grab stuff from the website and post it whenever you'd like. That's why it's there. So let's take a look at some of these resources now. Next slide, please. I did mention that we have fact sheets. We have a variety of different fact sheets, topics from work incentives for people who are blind on up to Section 503 of the Rehab Act and frequently asked questions about that. So those are available on our website, and I know that the link is being sent out to folks. But this month, we do encourage you to share what is Social Security's Ticket to Work program with ticket holders who are interested in learning more about the program. So if you want to go to the website, grab that fact sheet, post it on social media, post a link to it, that would be fantastic, and we'll watch out for those tags. Next slide, please. Our success stories feature individuals who have achieved financial independence with the help of the ticket program. We do also have a version of success stories that we call stepping stone stories. And these stories are about people who have made a big step on the path to financial independence, but they still haven't reduced their reliance on their benefits. So it's things like someone may have bought a car or somebody completed a training course. We want to feature those accomplishments and celebrate with them and feature them on the website as well. We have, next slide, please. We have released two new success stories in the last couple of months. I'd like to share about Rebecca first. Rebecca was formerly a teacher, and she decided it was time to find a new career after a life-changing cancer diagnosis. She is in remission, and we wish her continued luck with her health. But she did find a new job, and she currently works for the American Kennel Club and loves working and doing what she does. So at the same time, she wasn't sure if she could continue work. She didn't know what her future really looked like, but she did. She wanted to jump back in. So she met with an EN and found this position with the American Kennel Club and did achieve financial independence in her new job. Next slide, please. Andy's story. So Andy is our newest success story, and he was just published at the end of 2022. And he had support from a huge team. So that is a lot of what this story focuses on. Andy was in high school and was ready to transition to work. And his high school transition team did work with him and told him about the ticket program, introduced him to a state VR agency. And eventually he connected with an EN called Full Circle Employment Solutions. Then he connected with Project Search and one of Full Circle's partners called Seek. And he worked with all of these folks on his path to financial independence. And so this story is a great example of why so many people need to, or can and often are involved in people's achievement of financial independence. At this point, he's been at his job for nearly 10 years, and he feels more self-reliant and has a sense of belonging. He also enjoys taking home a paycheck, and his mom says that she has seen a major difference in his self-confidence around the house. Next slide, please. So how can you share success stories? I'm sure some of you are thinking, hey, I have somebody who would be great for that. We encourage you to... I'll get to that in 1 second. This is how to share on social. So we do encourage you to promote our success stories on social media. We do typically tend to send out social media about that because those two stories came out around the holidays. You have not seen that quite yet, but it is coming soon. We do have a lot of other success stories on the website. This graphic includes several of them, not nearly all of them. So they're available on our success stories page on Choose Work. They are also in the service provider outreach toolkit, which is on the Your Ticket to Work site. If you ever are at a loss and want some ideas for social media posts, you can contact socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov, and we'd be happy to help you out. And now, how to submit success story candidates. You can send an email to successstories@choosework.ssa.gov. Again, please try and keep the PII out of those emails. Basically, our success story manager, Ariel Doros, will give you a call to talk about the person to see if it is a good lead, a good potential candidate for a success story. What are we looking for? We're looking for someone really who has a story about their path, somebody like Andy who had help from a lot of different places, or Rebecca who actually made a major career change. So somebody with a bit more of a hook basically for their story and who has either is no longer reliant on benefits or who has had some major accomplishment and would be a good fit for that stepping stone story that I mentioned. Next slide, please. Excuse me. So I did tell you that, we have a lot of social media. You can like us on Facebook at Choose Work. You can follow us on Twitter at Choose Work SSA. We also have a YouTube channel where you can watch some of our videos. Many of you are familiar with Meet Ben, which is another great intro to the program. You can subscribe to our Gov Delivery updates. As ENs, many of you are already already receive our service provider gov delivery updates, but we have ticket holder update or public messaging as well. So if you're interested in seeing what the ticket holders are getting, that doesn't necessarily always make its way to you. For example, they see a different WISE announcement than you all see because we do include that social media. Feel free to go to Choose Work, and on the contact page, you'll have the chance to sign up to receive whichever emails you want to get. And then you can also subscribe to Choose Work blog updates. That is another gov delivery category. If you want to be notified of every time a blog is published, we do not currently notify ENs every time a blog is published because we know we send you lots of emails. So that's one that we kind of hold off on. And if you have any questions about any of this, you can always email socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov. And Derek, I will hand it back over to you.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for providing the communications and outreach updates. There's a lot of activity there and a lot of suggestions. One comment was in the chat that currently you can only register for the WISE event that is tomorrow. That is accurate. The next months will be going up quite shortly. What we wanted to do today was to provide you the forecasted events. Those are the fourth Wednesday of each month at the same time, so you can start planning ahead even prior to the registrations becoming available. With that, we've now concluded our formal presentations for this all EN call, and we'll transition to our open Q&A period. We do still have all of our speakers with us, except for Renee, who had to leave for another obligation. As a reminder, you can put your questions in the chat, as many of you have been doing. And if you are on the phone, you can use the two-step process, *5, then *6 to unmute yourself. We encourage you to keep asking the questions. Let's go first to Nicole. I see someone has their hand raised. Nicole, can you call them?
I do not see the hand raised.
So I will bring them up, and we have Linda. I'm not sure how to pronounce your last name, Lau. Linda, if you can unmute yourself, go ahead, please. Wait, Linda.
Hi, can you hear me now?
I sure can, Linda. Go ahead, please.
Okay, first of all, my last name is pronounced Lawi, like Maui, so everybody can kind of remember it now.
Thank you.
Okay, my question is, how do I find out if someone is on SSI or SSDI? Because my beneficiaries often do not know which one they are. Their benefits letters do not actually tell them whether they are SSI or SSDI.
Thank you for your question. Natalie, would you like to answer, please?
Yes. For specific questions, could you please reach out to enservice@ssa.gov for this one?
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Linda. Yeah, the advice there, reach out to EN Service and they'll be able to respond with the specific answers to help you out in that specific case. Nicole, it looks like our next hand raised is a telephone number. It's a 718-269 number. So this would be a two-step process to unmute, *5 and then *6. Is the caller still there? I think the hand went down. Go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead with your question, please. Identify yourself and your EN and your question.
Okay, Anthony Rabbit, Team Management 2000, Hackensack, New Jersey. And my question is the annual services and reports review. When are you notified that you passed the services and report supports review? I did one last year and I never got any correspondence back.
Thank you,
yes,
Anthony.
You definitely should have received correspondence back that you did pass. Anthony, would
I
you be
nothing.
Able to Okay. Would you be able to email enservice@ssa.gov, attention Natalie, and that will get to me, and I'll reach out directly to you?
Okay, Natalie. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Anthony, for your question, and Natalie for the guidance there. I don't see any other hands raised at this time. Let's look into chat. Well, before we go to chat, Jamie, if you can unmute, go ahead with your question. I see your hands raised.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to clarify, this might be a question for Renee and maybe Erin. I did see somebody in the chat earlier asked again about what happens if we don't get the BPQI within 30 days. And it looks like Erin had said we could reach out to EN Service for assistance with the BPQI requests that are older than 30 days. Is that true? Can we do that?
This is Natalie. Yes, you can. And there is a form to that we submit up to our operations department at SSA. So if you could email enservice@ssa.gov. I know I'm saying that email a lot. And yes, I will reach out to you since it is PII. Please do not send that by email, and I will contact you directly to get the ticket holder's information, and we will escalate that for anyone waiting for BPQIs over 30 days.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Jamie, for the question. Nicole, do you have the ability to call on our next hand raise?
No, I do not. Catherine is now taking that over for me.
Well, in the meantime,
we have Janine. Janine, go ahead and ask your question.
Janine, we have you on mute. If you can unmute yourself, then identify yourself, your EN, and then ask your question. In the meantime, Janine, looks like you might be off of mute. Go ahead. So we're having a technical challenge in getting in contact, obviously, with Janine. We'll keep working at that. Next, let's see if we can get Barbara. Barbara, your hand is raised. If you can go ahead and unmute yourself. I think you asked a question before. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Barbara Valmont. I'm with Orange Grove Center in Tennessee. When will we get the questionnaire to complete our APR?
Natalie, the question was, when will we receive the questionnaire to complete, I think, the APOR?
Yes, the email will be going out shortly with instructions for the APOR. It will go out to all ENs.
And as noted earlier in the chat, I think there'll be a training on January 26th. I saw that fly by earlier. And that will be included in that email. Thanks, Natalie. Natalie, anything in chat that you've noticed that you wanted to respond to? We've had a couple questions come in.
Just wanted to reiterate what you said about the APOR call. There are some questions regarding filling out the forms, and we will be happy to help you with that on Thursday if you're able to. If you're not able to join the call on Thursday, you can reach out to EN Service, and we can work with you on an individual basis. We definitely don't want anybody to be confused.
Great, thank you.
I do have another about the work from home request forms. Yes, we would like them to, we will be requesting them every year with the APOR.
So I'm just looking in chat here. Kevin asked a question, do you still need to do the SSA 222? Edward responded, I got an email saying the questions are available now, so be reviewed prior to the call on Thursday. Any comments there? Just want to make sure, Natalie, have a chance to clarify anything if you'd like.
I'm sorry, Derek. I was reading another chat question. Could you please repeat that?
Kevin asked the question, do ENs still do the SSA 222?
Yes. That will be part of the APOR.
Thank you. If we haven't received an invite for the call on Thursday, how do we get it? I just want to be clear, Natalie, that will be coming out in the email that you just referred to.
Yes, I will make sure that another email goes out to remind everyone about the call on Thursday.
Okay. We do have a payments related question. As a reminder, we have a call scheduled for January 31st. This question in particular is just about the payments at a glance 2023. Somebody has to do a presentation on Friday. They're looking for a little help. If that's available and there's a link, somebody could drop into chat that would help out Kathy. But again, for any questions related to payments, there will be an all EM payments call on January 31st. We'll remind that you all one more time on that before closing out. Erin is quite busy responding to questions in chat, so keep submitting those and she can get answers out as well. Mike Corso had to drop off. If you have questions for Mike, he suggests you can email him at mike@disabledperson.com. Follow up on the ACT Academy or the town acquisition portal offerings that he's providing for all ENs. Last question here, has the fax number to submit payments in the portal changed? I'm sure that could be brought up on the all-in payments call. If anyone has an update on that, that could be answered now. Natalie or Erin, if you're aware, can answer that one. Circle back with Catherine. Catherine, any questions coming in with the hand raise?
Hi, Derek. We have Janine. Janine, you are unmuted. If you'll just click your microphone and unmute and ask your question.
So Janine has her hand raised, but is having a challenge. Janine, if you're not able to get unmuted and you have the ability to ask your question in chat, go ahead and try it that way. Otherwise, you can certainly provide that question to EN Service. And we'd be happy to respond that way as well. Natalie just provided an answer to Dwayne in chat. Where can we find a list of approved FedRAMP? And there's a link that's now there. So our questions are starting to slow down while we still have over 20 minutes to go. If we don't have any further questions, we will draw to a conclusion. Just circle back with Natalie. Any specific items in chat that you would like to address before we wrap up today?
I do not believe so. I just wanted to reiterate that we will send an email out today, hopefully with a reminder for the APARC poor call on Thursday. And we will have you guys will send out the transcript with the chat, correct?
We don't actually include the actual chat. We take highlights for all the resources that will go inside of the all call summary. So we remove a lot of the back and forth, but grabs the main content and resources.
Okay. I will go through these questions, and if there's anything that I missed by chance, I will make sure to address those.
That sounds great. And then we will provide the summary along with the slides as we do after each quarterly call. I'm just reading a question that came in from Erin. I was wondering if you have any information from SSA regarding the difficulty that ticket holders have when they set up their profile on SSA.gov, particularly when they try to set up their employer profile. Many have had difficulties getting the local office to set up the profile so they can upload their pay stubs on the website. Natalie, any guidance or recommendation there?
I do not, unfortunately, because I do not deal with getting set up in SSA.gov. I was wondering if someone from the training staff, perhaps Keacher or someone, could give some guidance regarding that or somewhere we could send the ENs for help with that.
Well, thanks. I think
Hello, this is Keitra Hill, the EN Development and Training Manager. Yeah, we usually normally assist ENs with getting access to the MySSA account for the purpose of getting ticket portal access, but we can certainly look into how an EN can assist their beneficiary. I believe that may have been the question.
Thank you, Keitra.
You're welcome.
Okay, and I'll just voice what Aaron's put in chat because I'm going to say it shortly anyways. Please join us for the quarterly All EN Payments call on Tuesday, January 31st from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more information regarding EN payments. We'll have that call along with the experts on payments. There's a question here. How does one provide pay stubs for someone who works for Uber or Lyft? I guess that type of employment model. When we get to a granular question like that, is there a recommendation of who to talk to for that type of technical guidance?
In my experience with the Uber and Lyft and working payments, it seems like they're paid as a contractor, and we don't see regular monthly or quarterly earnings for them. And most of the times we have to wait until the end of year tax records come up so we can see those earnings.
Thank you. And once again, can you give the guidance to Natalie for the specific questions that might come up about how to contact the EN service team?
Yes, please contact EN service at ssa.gov. You can always, if you have questions specifically for me, you can also put it to the attention of Natalie and they will make sure that I receive it.
Fantastic. Thanks, Natalie. So enservice@ssa.gov. You can get some follow-up support there. When we move forward, I'll give you how to submit recommendations for the next EN call as well. Do TPR questions go to program integrity? Natalie, Lauren's asking, do timely progress review questions go to program integrity?
You can send those questions to enservice.gov, and I will make sure they're sent to the correct person.
Thank you. So once again, and Brittany's put that into chat if you want to cut and paste it, enservice@ssa.gov, Keitra as well. Well, as the questions have slowed down, I'd like to thank our presenters for joining us today and sharing the information. And on behalf of the Ticket Program Manager, I'd like to thank you for joining us for the All EN call and for your questions. Looking ahead, again, the All EN Payments call will be on January 31st at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and our next All EN Quarterly call will be on Tuesday, April 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. If you have topics that you'd like to submit to ensure we cover those as part of the presentations, please email enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And Brittany has put that information into the chat, and it's also on the slide. And we appreciate you attending today, and we thank you for your time and your participation and all the work that you do. And at this point, I will now close this All EN Quarterly call. Thank you, and have a great day.